Hello and welcome to Python 411, computer programming for everybody. Okay, this is going to be a relatively short podcast. I'm going to talk briefly about Python's niche, as I perceive it, and then I'm going to do a section called Errata. A fine gentleman named Peter Prickroll has sent in some comments of some errors he found in my podcast called Modules, Packages, and Distutils from August 31st. And I'm going to just go down that so that I don't mislead anyone and lead them astray. So if you listen to that podcast, there were a couple of errors that he caught, and I'll go over that, and then a few concluding comments. But for starters, I want to talk about Python's niche. Well, I guess all Pythonistas want Python to obtain total world domination. But realistically, I think that all the other programming languages in the world are not going to go away. In fact, there seems to be a lot of reasons to have more than one programming language because different programming languages are good at different things and are better for some purposes than others, in some kinds of applications. So furthermore, I think there may even be a trend, I believe, in the future towards having more application-specific programming languages. And if you've heard of something called intentional software, which I think that's the idea behind it, is that to try to make a higher-level programming language that will be very effective for applications of a particular kind, and creating almost a language, an easy, very high-level language for different specific purposes. But be that as it may, the reason I've been thinking about this is because Python has been lumped in our minds to some extent along with Perl and Ruby, and there's some distress within the Python community perhaps because Ruby on Rails is becoming so popular. And so I just want to very briefly comment and say that although I haven't used Ruby on Rails, I did play around with Ruby, the language, and I read the original version of the Pickaxe book on Ruby, and I found it delightful. But it is not ever going to replace Python for me, but I think the fact is we might as well accept that Ruby on Rails is extremely popular, and if you hang out in the programming communities on various bulletin boards, you'll find it's getting more popular by the day because it is so good at what it does, at making it very, very easy to create fairly simple websites as a web server, programming on the web server tool. So a lot of Python projects are like Django are out there trying to catch up, and maybe they will, maybe they won't. But it actually does appear, much to the dismay of some Pythonistas, that the language Ruby may have certain advantages for creating very introspective kind of programming for web servers. And in fact, the fact that Python, as we know and love, defines blocks by indentation could actually be construed as perhaps a negative for embedding Python code into HTML code. And although it can be done, certainly, it perhaps is not quite optimum, and therefore people have created templating languages, like Zop has a templating language for that purpose. And so at any rate, I guess my thesis is that Python's niche, to get to the chase, I believe Python's niche is as a general language. There's no one specific kind of application where Python necessarily excels over all other languages as the number one. But it's very, very good at everything. And I relate this back to, in the very early days, since I'm in my 50s now, when I was in college, Fortran was the general purpose scientific programming language. And I believe that to some extent, to this day, Fortran is heavily used for that purpose. And when I was in school, BASIC became a general-purpose entry-level programming language. And look how it became general-purpose when the personal computer came along. And Bill Gates championed it with Microsoft BASIC, and it was used. It was present on all the early personal computers, and not just PCs, but also Amiga and ones like that, where everybody used BASIC. So BASIC was something of a general-purpose programming language. And then it spawned Visual Basic, the Microsoft language. So I think Python is far superior, of course, to either Fortran or Basic, and far more powerful than Basic could ever be. and much more literate and fluid and dynamic. But nonetheless, I think Python shares characteristics with BASIC in that it has become the new BASIC, where it will be great as the first language that a lot of people learn and the only language that a lot of people learn. Whereas if you want a language that is the best possible for writing client-side web programs, then JavaScript is superior because it's 100% available on almost everyone's machine and in everyone's web browser. And if you're writing server-side programmings, web programs, Python is great. I use it for that myself. But for quick and dirty, PHP is more popular and may always be. And for slightly more sophisticated, Ruby on Rails, maybe the most popular for a long, long time compared to Cherry Pie or Zope or Django. And if you want to do GUIs on Windows, well, C# or C++ may be the superior programs because of the tools available from Microsoft. And if you want to do text-based programming, especially with regular expressions, then Perl may be somewhat superior. And for certain high-level corporate web servers, Java may be the tool of choice. But Python is the general purpose champion. The general purpose program that if you only want to learn one language to do everything you need to do, Python is the one. And even if you know these other languages, you want to know Python also because for some purposes it is just so easy and so quick and easy. So Python, I'm glad Python has block definition by indentation, and I think most of us are, because that's part of what makes Python great as a general purpose language. And if that turns some people off, so be it, because I love Python the way it is. And I think that Python, again, another example would be if you want to do programming on mobile devices, Java is probably more ubiquitous, but I love Python because it can be used for that purpose. So, again, enough of my rant, but I believe that Python will be what it will be. So, okay, I said this was going to be a brief one, so that's my talk on Python's niche. I think it's a great niche. I think it's going to grow. But now let me go to the errata and say that I got this email from Peter Prickle, and I thank you, Peter. It's quite nice. On my modules podcast, first of all, I misspelled disutils. So modules, packages, and disutils, it should have been distutils. So I corrected that on the www.awaretech.com/Python page. And then he found a bug in my podcast where I was talking about import sys, and I said that you could type at the command line, import sys, and then, or in a program, and then type print, and I said quotation marks sys.path. And he's obviously correct. I should have not said quotation marks. If you're putting in a program, you would just say import sys, and then print sys.path with no quotation marks. Or on the command line, interactively, import sys on one line, and then the next line, just sys.path, no quotation marks, or print sys.path in a program. So that's the correction. He also mentioned that when I talked about double angle bracket prompts in the Python command line, I should have said triple angle bracket prompts. And then most importantly, and I'm going to spend some time on this, in fact, I think I'll read directly. I was talking about packages, and I said that when you import dir.1.dir.2.mod or directory1.directory2.mod, that in order to be general, you used dots instead of slashes or backslashes, because Unix uses slashes and Windows uses backslashes. But he made a very good point that in a subtle way, he has a better explanation. And I'm going to read it verbatim. It's not very long. He said, when talking about packages, you explained that import dir.1.dir.2.mod uses dot instead of slashes because different systems use different slashes. This is a technical point of view. Possibly, it is more natural to think about using dot as the separator for names in hierarchical namespace, an abstract point of view. If it is natural to separate the attributes of the object instance by dot from the name of the instance slash class, then it is natural to separate the module name from the internal attributes names that could be class names, for example. If modules can be put into named packages, then the dot is a logical separator of module names from the package names, etc. Therefore, in my opinion, Peter says, it would be better to explain the above command as import package.subpackage.module. And I agree, Peter. where the package and sub-package happen to be represented by directories with the same name, and the module is represented by the module.py file. That's because Python is a pragmatic language. The modules are implemented via files, and the packages via directories. However, I can imagine a different implementation of Python where packages may be implemented differently than by subdirectories technically. Still, the logical abstract approach may work in such cases. To conclude, the dot separators should be viewed from a logical abstract point of view. They make the language syntax independent of the implementation of Python itself. Regards, Peter. Thank you, Peter. I agree, and I think that, although subtle, perhaps that is a very valid point, and I do agree that thinking of it as import package.subpackage.module in the abstract or general case is the preferable way to do it. So anyone who finds errors in my podcast, please let me know, because I don't want to mislead anyone, and I'm not the world's leading expert in anything. So thank you, Peter, very much. And stay tuned and subscribed. By the way, if you are a listener and to the Python 411 series and you don't normally listen to the AwareText series, I recommend you might try it out this week, because I just posted a podcast about economics. And I think if you're interested in economics and investments, this is something that I've given an awful lot of thought to. And that particular podcast at www.awaretech.com/podcasts, that particular podcast of the AwareText series might be of interest to you, even if the other podcasts that tend to be very wide-ranging might not be. So recommend you try that out. So, and lastly, if you enjoy this series at all, try once a month to get over to the Podcast Alley website and vote for Python 411, because it will help raise Python 401 higher in the rankings. And I noticed we're up to 8 votes this month, which gets us up there in the top 25 or so, and ahead of all the other programming languages podcasts like Perl and PHP and Java, which is nice. It might attract more users, people, to learn Python. I made it easy for you to do. If you go to the awaretech.com/Python page, you can click, and it takes you right to vote on Podcast Alley. Okay, thank you. Stay subscribed, stay aware, and I will get back to you with another podcast on learning Python, computer programming for everyone.